What's going on, everybody, and welcome to Table Talk, brought to you by Pop Culture Fanatics, a podcast where we talk about everything that happens in the world of pop culture. I'm your host, Val Cisco, and of course, with me, as always, from Anxiety and I podcast, Mr. Jake. How you doing, sir?
Oh, shit, this shot hit me hard. I am doing well, obviously. I do declare.
A murder, you say? And I gotta say, guys, we do have fun and games where we talk about things that we do like to make light of a lot of situations. This situation today, we're gonna get a little serious, but we'll try to interject some fun and play into it. But we're gonna be talking about COVID-19 and just how we as a country, we as a world have responded to this, reacted to this, and how government officials or the people themselves from different various nations and countries have reacted to all this craziness that's been going on. So I figured it'd be a great open forum to talk about, especially with you being an activist. I was going to say former activist, but you really go out there any chance you get as well too to protest. And with everything going on these days, I think this would be very interesting to get your thoughts and opinions on the recent protests that have been happening across the nation.
Oh, absolutely. Honestly, I really appreciate you having me on here for this topic. And kind of just want to like interject and really kind of make people aware of like how serious you are on the issue. When I saw one of the posts that you had shared, I mean, it really took me by surprise, because if anybody really knows Val, I mean, he really doesn't dive too much into politics. You know, he always keeps it friendly, always keeps it fun, you know, always keeps it very open. But if he does share something very political or, you know, really trying to make a statement, you know, it's serious. You know, he's very serious about it. So when I saw that, I was like, whoa. And then when you reached out to me about the podcast, I was like, oh, the fire is lit. So that, you know, that just really means that something really, really rubbed you wrong, or, you know, because there's a lot going on.
There's been a lot of things on my mind when it comes to this virus, COVID-19, coronavirus, however you want to call it these days. And an interesting article I read the other day, and it said that COVID-19 has broken down the American society mentally rather than physically. And I 100,000% agree with that, with this day and age and how we're living day to day with this virus everywhere around us. I got to ask you, though. So knowing that we have been doing social distancing and self-isolation and things of that nature, can you tell me, how have you reacted to COVID-19 since its inception from, you know, late February, knowing about it from January, but from, I want to say late February till now, how have you been reacting to it?
Well, at the beginning, I will say that I kind of relaxed on the whole situation a bunch. At the beginning, I was a little hectic about it, only because it just kept hitting me, you know, just from hearing the news, seeing the news, reading the news, actually going out and seeing things, and you're all like, oh my God, like this is real. Like this is actually happening. You know, the whole thought of it is very surreal. So, I wouldn't be lying if I said I've gone a little mad. I'm an introvert. You know, I'm a big introvert. All I do is game. I'm a huge gamer. But even in this situation, I'm getting very tired of seeing the inside of my room. I'm pretty sure my bed has a complete impression of me. and I'm even getting tired of my own smell. I do bathe. But when you're just in your scent for too long, you're just like, you know. But anyway, I'm learning a lot from the situation about everyone else. I guess I'm really looking out at the world, really taking notes, really observing, you know, even my own friends, you know, how are you handling a situation like this? You know, go ahead.
No, yeah. I 1,000% agree with you. I think this virus, this disease that's out there is very reactional. just it's very interesting to see the world react and how people are reacting these days, how government officials are reacting, how just plain old Jim and Jan out there reacting as well too. And it's just very interesting. Me myself, you know, I could be an omnivert, I could be very introverted, I could be very extroverted depending on the situation. And personally, me, self-quarantining hasn't really bothered me that much. You know, I'm a Scorpio. I enjoy my space. I am very docile like that sometimes, but I do miss people every once in a while. I do have a girlfriend, I do have kids, and I do like to spend time with them as much as I can.
Kids.
Friends as well too. You know, her kids as well too. I say they're mine as well.
Good for you.
I think we're taking that step now. And I will say, like, at the beginning of the process, I didn't take this as serious as I am taking it now. I looked at this as, you know, a lot of hoopla. I was like, hey, you know, it's another disease like SARS or West Nile or Ebola, where, you know, the mainstream media is trying to push their agenda to scare the public. And I'm not going to be reactional to it, because every other year I was very reactional to it and nothing really happened. From a person that, you know, was born and bred in the Bronx, New York, and a person that's seen, you know, terrorism right there at their doorsteps with, you know, 9/11, and then the aftermath that came with 9/11 with anthrax and envelopes and things of that nature, and all those scares and bomb threats, I felt that I was a person that had really thick skin with things. And I was treating it like that. Like, this is a thick skin thing. Don't be scared about this. Keep on going forward. And as time progressed, I looked at the severity and I looked at the numbers and I looked at the cases and people actually dying from the disease. And however you want to put it, however you want to think about it, like if it's serious to you or not, it's a global pandemic and it's affected millions of families out there. So, yeah, I take it pretty damn serious now.
But again, I wouldn't necessarily blame you. I guess we all kind of understood that there was a danger. But again, you know, coming from, and I do remember, I think it was bird flu when I was either in middle school or high school. And I remember my mom going crazy about that one. I remember walking into the living room one day and she's looking up gas mask, you know, and stuff like like face masks, but like actual gas masks and stuff when bird flu was, you know, the talk of the town at then. But this one really, really, really hit different. But I think there's a whole different reason for that as well. Yeah. And I don't know if we're ready to get into that now, but I mean, I think the reason why it's opened up our eyes because, you know, we had to. It's incompetence, honestly.
It is. Incompetence is a perfect word when it comes to the reaction of this virus. Let's talk about just the human reaction first. We could definitely get into politics in a few, but let's just talk about the human aspect and how people really just went from 0 to 100 very quickly at the end of February. I mean, beginning of February, you heard the rumblings, and just like a me or you or other people out there, we're like, we're in it, but not too much in it. We're just waiting to see exactly what was happening, how it was going to happen. But it was just that late February that things just snapped like that. And then out of nowhere, you had people going to fucking Sam's Club or Costco buying like 80 sheets of toilet paper. What happened? What was that trigger right there that had people flip out that way?
Yeah, and it's funny because when you really think about it, I think we were all just kind of making light of the situation. I know people have a lot to say to this one, but like, I still enjoy the memes to this day. You know, that's just how we cope with things now. I mean, is it always appropriate? And again, you know, this is 2020 when I think the majority of people just pretty much opened up about dark humor, dark and dry humor. And, you know, people were pretty much accepted of it to a certain degree at a certain point. But I think that reality hit once it came to the grocery stores and then when everyone started getting sent home. Now, the grocery stores, that wasn't COVID. That was people. That was people doing that. You know, I want to say probably started with those people who think that the government's going to like take over, you know, the land. And so they start stockpiling on shit. And in this case, it just happened to be toilet paper. Or, you know, maybe there was older generations, or people who went through a different kind of timeline, or grew up with some, in some point in time where toilet paper was always seen as a valuable. And so, maybe those are the people who started. I don't know. But I think once people started seeing the empty shelves, that kind of just struck everyone, was like, whoa. So then what that started happening is, when Karen seen Bob buy, dozens of packages of toilet paper, then, she's got to go get some, because it's like, oh man, there's not going to be any left. And she starts texting everybody and Snapchatting, and then other people are seeing that. And then it just became this whole snowball trickle down effect where everyone's just seeing this happen. But like right now, where I think the madness has come from, it's like
Misinformation.
misinformation, but like, especially here in America, like it just goes to show how spoiled we are. Like literally, like they're like people are taking freedom, quote unquote freedom, to the literal meaning. And so, asking people to stay inside, it's really making people go mad. And this is a situation that we're going in here. I think as it prolonged, the reality became more what's the word I want to use?
No, but
It became more of a reality. It's like, wow, this is real and this is it. And so the jokes were no longer as funny. And so, it just turns into frustration from there.
I definitely see the frustration, and
I do
I just
too.
I remember just just like you, just making fun of the memes of toilet paper and stuff like that, and it really just caught me by surprise, honestly, because when you look at any kind of crisis that happens, you look at, Ebola. I remember when Ebola was, such a huge, prolific thing that happened for like those 2 months or 3 months that that was around. Water was off the shelves. Water, bottled water, purified water, that was the biggest thing. And that's something that I can definitely understand. When there's a catastrophic emergency, I've been in areas where there's hurricanes, where there's flash floods and things of that nature. You're from, Texas as well, too. So I'm pretty sure if you've dealt with your own sort of emergency back down there as well too. So in these catastrophic times, you look at the main essentials, you wouldn't think toilet paper was one of them. I think that's where a lot of the nonsensical humor came. It was more so, we're just gonna have fun with this, we're gonna make SpongeBob memes, we're gonna
I
kind of
thought it
treat
was, I
this.
didn't think it was real. I like because I hadn't gone to a store for a while, so I didn't actually know that there was toilet paper flying off the shelves. Again, I thought people were just making jokes. I thought somebody posted one video on it, and then like everyone just started making a joke out of that one video. Again, I didn't know it was a real thing until I went to the store and was like, holy shit, like they're being serious.
So, jokes aside with the toilet paper, when was it that we saw full-on prejudice when it came to the Asian community or even Asian American
Right away,
community? You
in
think
the very
that's what it
beginning.
was? I really felt like there was a shift. It was like more so like TP at first, and I get it. But I remember this one meme that came out, and it was probably from a movie or probably from a show, but it was that meme, and it's pretty funny, I get it. It's where the guy is coughing and he spits on the street where like it's raining, there's
Oh,
water, and like
I know.
everybody's like getting away from him, and people are trying to get away because he's coughing so much and sneezing, and out of nowhere a car comes by and just douses them all with what he spit on. It's pretty funny, but it definitely sends a general message of some kind of
Because that
prejudice.
person had to be Asian. Next person could have
Exactly.
been anyone else, and it would have been, but because it was Asian. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut
No,
you off.
you're fine. And I think that was one of the starts right there of that like anti-Asian like revolt
No.
right there. That you don't think so?
No. I think it was right away, because when do you remember when the COVID talks were like, and before it was even called COVID, remember it was like it was like more of like an underground story where, because I think other things were happening, and then there were like few memes and few other posts here and there that were like, yeah, y'all worried about this, but nobody's talking about the epidemic that's happening in China right now. And I think this is at the time that they were also advertising Resident Evil 3 too. So people were kind of correlating to that. And I think that's one of the main reasons. I know it sounds crazy, but I think that's one of the main reasons why it even was getting, talk. I think gamers will, take credit for that, should take credit for that, because again, they were just making that reference. But then, it started becoming this whole huge real thing. But I think as the media started reporting on it and people were really starting to bring it to attention as it was growing in China, again, those fears were already, were already being instilled into people here. And, you know, because of the current political climate, a lot of people are very open and very blatant about the racism. So I believe it started getting, I think the anti-Asian sentiment really started getting big as soon as, you know, media started reporting on it, because people are already starting to blame, you know, China and the Chinese, even the people here, you know, stopped going to Chinese restaurants, you know, stopped buying anything related to any kind of Asian culture, because it was like, oh, you might have this Chinese virus that's going around over there. It started early.
But tell me this. So we have seen different epidemics and pandemics come out, and we're, from what I remember, maybe vaguely there was some bits of racism here and there. But I've never seen such a take on finding or pinpointing an enemy that was China. And when it came to a disease, you look at things like Ebola and looking at South Africa in some cases and whatnot. When you're looking at West Nile virus, when you're looking at, you know, anthrax in the Middle East and things of that nature when it came after 9/11. But it really wasn't like prolific as it is right now, where we looked at one central enemy and we're looking at a demographic of people and blaming them entirely for what's causing this. And I
Yeah,
find
I
that.
can tell you one.
Go
I
ahead.
can. The 80s, AIDS. People called it the gay virus, and people will still call it the gay virus to this day. People blame homosexuals for HIV
I
to
can
this
see that.
day.
Yeah. You're right. You're 1,000% right. So do you see, like, okay, looking at that right there, do you see a mirror effect of what's going on from that to this?
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, it's from everybody from the outside looking in, and it's always the same group of people. And I guarantee you, it's the same group of people that are really pushing that, you know. But I personally don't have HIV or AIDS, but you know, I do my part in trying to learn and try to be educated on it from it. You know, hear people's stories. Several of my friends are HIV positive, and you know, it's been an honor to hear their story. You know what I mean? One thing I always say is the most valuable thing that one of the most valuable things that a person has is their story. And for someone to share their story with you, that is a great honor and that is a huge sign of respect. You know, because when someone's sharing their story, they're opening up some of their most vulnerability to that person. So, you know, being able to hear the stories of people with HIV in now in this time, you know, I can only imagine some of the stories that I would hear from, you know, back in the 80s, where people were dying left and right because it was just like it is now with Corona. It was new. It was, nobody knew what it was. They kind of have an idea now, but like back then it was like, what is this? And the way that people were dying left and right, you know, people watching their friends die, people watching their family die. Go
Why do
ahead.
you why do you feel that we need, well, not we, when I say we, I look as a country right there, and I hate doing that, but why do you feel that America, the United States of America, has to put like a villainous enemy toward this virus? Why do you feel like they, whether it's the government, mainstream media, the people itself, have to definitely put the Joker card as China as the main enemy when it comes to this virus? Why isn't it something that, you know, this is an epidemic that we're all dealing with, this is something that we should all band together? Why do you see like so much prejudice, and that it's labeled, like even our own president called it the Chinese virus at one point because it came from
China.
China. So
China.
it's like, why do you feel like we have to put that as the main enemy, like the Sephiroth of them all right now?
Frank, I honestly wish I had that answer. And I think a lot of people are searching for that answer. Because, you know, when you really put it, you know, not just with sicknesses or viruses. I mean, you know, I think America has always tried to put blame on a certain group of people or a certain ethnic, you know, certain race of people, for things. And I right now at this moment, if I had to have an answer, I would just say American arrogance. You know, we put ourselves, again, I hate to say we, but I think, you know, America itself has put itself on this pedestal where it can't be touched and it shouldn't be touched. And, you know, almost kind of like a invulnerability. Is that the word I want to use?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Parody, well, I definitely feel
Yeah.
like, you know, the American dream, or the act, if you will, is that we're untouchable and that we're the leading nation when it comes to everything, financially, medically, all that good stuff, right, that we want to believe. Mm-hmm. So when you put a dent in us, in the American dream itself, it scares a lot of people because it faces them with their own mortality. It faces them with their own mm-hmm. insecurities in life, that we don't have the best healthcare in the world. We are not prepared for mass pandemics. We're not prepared for outbreaks. And when you accept that, and when you have that in your mindset, it leads doubt, and doubt raises fear and frustration. And when that happens, there's the blame, there's the finger. And it just drives me crazy with the intolerance that's out there right now. Definitely there mm-hmm. should be some tolerance when it comes to this, but the intolerance out there, it drives me just absolutely fucking nuts. There's no way that we should treat any person out there, whether you're Asian American, whether you're Indian, whether you're African American, Mexican, Puerto Rican, what have you, that you should blame that specific person or race or nationality on something that they don't have anything to deal with whatsoever. And my heart goes out to out there to like anybody who is Asian American, who is came out here just for family, just to see how they're doing, you know, any kind of immigrant whatsoever that's living here with a visa, you know, it's my heart goes out to them because they can't freaking go out their house without somebody ridiculing them. And honestly, this is not a race car thing, but you don't see anybody from the Latin community. You don't see anybody from, you know, Caribbean, West Indian, African community. You don't see anybody whatsoever blaming them besides full-fledged, you know, albino Americans.
For the most part, yes, because you know that's what we always see. But as someone from Latin descent, you know, I'm sorry, but like Hispanics are pretty racist.
We can get judgy, yes. So
yeah, I've seen several people and I've called them out on their shit. And you've seen some of the posts that I've put mm-hmm. that, you know, the moment that I would have seen anybody that I know or even some rando Facebook person that I just happen to have on my Facebook, if I saw anybody posting any derogatory remarks towards either Asian Americans or anyone of, you know, Asian descent or Asian culture, it would immediately attack them on that shit. Put me in Facebook jail. Yeah, I don't care. Like that's unnecessary. It's uncalled for. It's disrespectful, and I don't have any other words for that besides that. But kind of wanted to piggyback off something that you were, you know, kind of saying earlier. In regards to, you know, because we were talking about American arrogance. I think that's something that we've always refused to do. That I think is slowly starting to take place now is us. American leadership and people, just Americans, taking ownership of our faults and things that we have done. And, you know, the reason why this went wrong is because, you know, we should have acted on this. We should have done this. I think more people, and again, it's coming from, you know, younger generations, is taking ownership for the fact that, you know, well, we fucked up. Somehow, how do we fix it? You know what I mean? It's in drips here and there, you know, but I think soon, I think once we start realizing that, teaching that, and recognizing that, until then, we won't be better people.
No, you make valid arguments there. I think you hit the nail right on the coffin because you look at America as a whole, and the United States of America, and you look at the debauchery that's happened throughout the country's legacy, and there's no accountability whatsoever. If anybody tries mm-hmm. to take any accountability, they're called a snowflake, or they're called an apologist, or they're called, you know, a communist, or things of that nature, socialist and things of that nature. And I find that fucking repulsive. Like, if you have someone mm-hmm. that speaks out and acknowledges, yes, from like day one that America's been here, we have, you know, eradicated races like the Native Americans that have been around the soil. We have put people to slave work like Hispanics and Blacks. You know, we even Asians as well too on the railroads.
Japanese,
you know, yeah. You know, we have denounced all races, whether it's Irish Americans that came out here and Italians and Sicilians mm-hmm. and whatnot. And there has been no point in time where any elected official has just said, you know what, we're sorry. We accept that we made these mistakes, and we want to move forward as a union, at, you know, being together in a way. There's no elected official that has literally come out there and says we need to work together to build a bridge from what the past was.
You know how bad it is? You know how bad it is? I didn't mean to cut you off, but there's something like really important I got to say. Two things I want to interject with. I was for like a brief moment, and I'm totally going to be paraphrasing it, and I totally apologize. And if somebody wants to correct me on the things I say, please do. But I was on a little stint where I just, you know, I was so infatuated and wanted to learn and hear, you know, some of my friends' story that are, you know, Native American. Because in Texas, we don't really have a lot of Native Americans. But over here in Arizona, it's very rich and I love it. You know, so I get to experience this, you know, see very traditional ways of living, all this good stuff. And somebody was explaining to me and how they have like a charting system that Native Americans are given a kind of like a number of how pure blood, and this is tracked by the American government, how pure blood of Native American, you know, Native American blood they are. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, they get, I think it has to do with, you know, money and you know, what's that word called?
Income?
Again, I'm
finance.
I'm paraphrasing.
Okay.
No, reprimands, is that the word I want to use?
Repressions?
No, but anyway.
Yeah, I got you.
But, and basically, you know, as they were telling me, so I was like, so they basically track you and your blood up until the point where you have so very little Native blood, because, you know, there's a lot of interracial mixed, you know, marriages and stuff like that. They track it up until there's like a point of almost no Native blood that, you know, that you're no longer, quote unquote, a burden, you know, to the American government.
Yeah, that's ridiculous right there. That's you're taking so much of one's history, oneself, one's identity. And you know what? You know, Puerto Rican culture honestly is the same way. You know, you look at Puerto Rican culture, not to go on a tangent myself either, but, you know, the island of Puerto Rico has been raped and pillaged. You know, the original ancestors were all throughout the Caribbean, whether it's Puerto Rico or Haiti, Dominican Republic, however you want to call it on that side right there. Even Jamaica, you know, they were all Taino Indians and they were very peaceful natives. You know, they barely even used, you know, steel as weapons. They used wooden swords to chase away enemies and stuff like that. And how much of the Taino that's broken off from actual Puerto Ricans is so phenomenally horrible. I mean, when you look at Puerto Ricans right now, yes, you look at Puerto Ricans that speak, you know, Spanish from Spain, and, you know, their dialects are vastly different from any other person out there in the Caribbean. You look at Puerto Rican culture itself, and they borrow from so many different heritages, whether it's from African, from the music, or, you know, from the food, from plantains. You know, you're looking at the crossbreeds from Christopher Columbus, bringing, you know, Italians and Spanish and Africans crossbreeding all over the place, Irish as well too. Puerto Rico, to be actual Puerto Rican just means that you're a mutt these days. And I say that with the most respect in the world, because I'm very proud of my culture and I'm very proud of being, you know, a Puerto Rican American. But the same token, though, it's so broken up, just like Native Americans out here in America. It's just ridiculous. But to kind of get back on where we're looking at, let's take a look at COVID-19 in general, coronavirus itself, and why it's such a sneaky virus, man. You know, yes, people are going to say it's very much like a flu symptom, but it's on a different level, man. You know, it affects people in different ways, you know, from moderate to, you know, the most mild symptoms. You know, the common symptoms, fever, you know, tiredness, dry cough, and right then and there, you probably just feel like you had a bad day at work. You know, there's been plenty of times last year where I just came home from work after a 10-hour day, and you know what? I'm feeling kind of hot. I'm feeling kind of tired. My throat's parched, you know. So you could definitely, you know, just have this without even knowing, you know, other symptoms, aches and pains, congestion, runny nose, sore throat, diarrhea. You know, this is very much a respiratory disease. So a person like me that has asthmatic symptoms, you know, we can mistakenly look at this as asthma. We can go through an inhaler or nebulizer within a whole day, just medicine, or 2 days or 3 days, and just think that we're just having bad symptoms or we're just having a bad attack. But, you know, it's far more severe than what that is. And you don't actually develop symptoms until like 4 to 5 to 14 fucking days. So when people look at this, you know, I don't think enough people do enough research on the drug itself. And for people out here that we're living in, we're getting close to May, we're in mid-April, and people are still calling this a hoax. People are still calling this a fake virus. People are still calling this not a serious pandemic. What do you say toward that? When you look at the symptoms, when you look at the research, and you have people just still not giving a fuck about this, how does that make you feel?
The anger and the darkness that I feel looking out, it's indescribable, because it's gotten to the point where I'm no longer speaking respectfully, you know, in regards to this, you know. One of my favorite quotes from the most random movie is The Mist with, I forgot his name, but there was a scene where he says, there's some people you just can't convince that their hair's on fire. And I've always loved that, because it's just such a simple statement, but we all know how true that is. And like, I'm definitely applying this to this. These people, it's so crazy, because you have on one side people who are still calling this a hoax, people who are, you know, failing to believe that, it probably still believe that this is just a regular flu. And then you have another group of people that are calling it a 5G conspiracy theory. And it's like you got all this stuff just being slung around the internet. It's hard to try to just catch all that, throw it away, and draw the correct picture for these people, because by this point, they're just there's a double-edged sword to the internet, and it sucks so bad. But also it doesn't help when you have very specific group of people constantly attacking the media too. Again, yes, we all know that the media really hypes things up, you know, even local media, like the little, I talked about it, the little Corona montage that they have at the beginning. It's like News 5 tracking the Corona updates for you, and has like different montages of them discussing, you know. It's like, bro, doing that like 2 weeks
in. Let's talk about that here. We talked about the people. We could talk about more reactions later on, but let's talk about now just the influences that have been going on. Whoever's influencing people, whoever's influencing office, media, things of that nature. How has the influence of coronavirus disrupted just human nature these days? You're looking at mainstream media and how they're covering, you know, the virus. You're looking at elected officials and how they're covering the virus. And you're looking at, you know, just all walks of life thinking that they're the next fucking, you know, Bill Gates doing researching on Google, trying to figure out what Corona is and how to avoid it. How do you feel that the influence has been, WebMD, exactly. How do you think the influence has been since the virus has been around?
I honestly cannot really, it's hard to fathom the what if, because we're under the leadership that we have now. And I guarantee you almost 100%, I'm going to step back and say like probably 80, that it wouldn't be as bad as we didn't have the leadership, because that's where a lot of the influence comes from. A lot of the stuff that we're dealing with right now, where people just refuse to believe. There's always going to be those people, that are going to refuse to believe. There's always going to be those people that are going to leave it up to God, you know, no matter what, whether it's real or not, it's going to be up to God to do the whatever he's going to do, right? But because we have someone and the power that they have constantly retweeting things, constantly saying this and saying that, it's feeding the base, especially because we're in an election year. And I think that's also part of it. Like, that's part of what's causing the reaction. And that's where a lot of these people come up with the idea that it's fake, because it's an election year. And this is a huge, huge, this is a huge test for this president. And people think that the media is using it to bash. It's like, no, they're pointing out facts that everything that we could have done. And I think that's where that war comes in, because, you know, yes, the media has a lot of influence, but I think it's almost gotten to the point where it's necessary. It's like, how many graphs, how many charts, how many numbers do we have to show you for you to realize that this is not a fake thing, that this is what we must do So it's, I think the biggest part of that
Okay, so
influence
let's
coming
start at
from
the top right here. I'm going to take any personal feeling I have toward how I feel about Donald Trump out the window, and I'm going to be as unbiased as, no. Now I'm going to be as fair as possible right now. So let's look at this. In a fair way, looking at how he has reacted to the virus itself. Yes, he's been very reactional. I totally understand he made blockades to Asian countries. He's made blockades to a lot of the Eastern countries. A lot of times he's made blockades to places like Italy and France as well to kind of quarantine America. Even though that didn't work the best way as possible, he still tried to, in the best way he can put it, quarantine America to save lives. Now, I understand that for the people that are going to be very reactional toward hearing this, that he didn't do anything, yada, yada, yada. I definitely understand that he was very reactional. But I will say the leadership that we have right now did not have any kind of preparatory plan whatsoever for any kind of pandemic at all. Whether it's this, whether it be another one, whether if it was freaking, I don't know, chicken pox that came out. There was no contingency plan whatsoever for the United States to handle a national pandemic like we're going through right now. And that falls strictly upon him because our security, whether it's military, whether it's, biological, that should be number one. Protect us, protect our grounds. You're commander in chief of essentially the greatest country in the world, as you like to put it all the time. So our protection should be the biggest thing. So I feel he failed right there, just not having that contingency plan and not admitting to it. There would be a more respect factor that I would give this man if at least he would have admitted that he wasn't prepared for this, but we're going to try to do this now. Not once has he said that. If anything, he's taken credit for other people's work. He's taken credit for scientists' work. He's taken credit for media work. He's taken credit.
They tried to buy work that they were doing on, very important work on like a vaccine and corona studies from Germany. And Germany said,
Yeah,
fuck
yeah.
you.
There's been false information that he's provided, and I get it. There are certain things I see that in his mind could be very, very beneficial for the public. In his mind, possibly coming on TV every single day or every other day to give a status update on the virus itself and our contingency plans. I get it. It's something that you should do as a leader to show that, hey, we're on the case. But it kind of feels like he's stalling every single fucking announcement. And there's always pretty much the same goddamn thing. Like, we want to reopen. It's going to get better. We're going to hit our peak. And then someone has to correct them really quickly that no, we're not getting better. The numbers are true. People are dying. And this is a pandemic. Stay home. And I feel like it's just been very, it's cat and mouse. It's like someone always correcting what he has to say every single day, and it's getting a little tiring. That's just from what I've seen this year alone, and I'll just say that respectfully. What about you?
How much time do we have? No, here's I'm just immediately piggybacking off of that, off of that. It's gotten to the point so bad where, and I want to say this is without what was the word that you used, biasness? That certain news anchors and journalists have been calling for their networks to stop broadcasting their the
Updates.
White House corona response updates because one, they are spreading a lot, them as in he is spreading a lot of misinformation, especially in direct contrast to what the media is reporting. The media is trying to report this, but he's like, oh no, I know everything because I know, not only that, he's falsely accusing people, the wrong people for the wrong things, trying to put blame on everything, and it's just becoming dangerous. And so the fact that news journalists are asking their networks not to broadcast this thing is a very, very, very powerful move and a very powerful statement. It is, and I don't think that people are really understanding that. Like, that's a huge thing. Like, this is our president, and you're asking your network not to broadcast what this guy is saying because it's dangerous. It's mind-boggling, you know? But that's trying to not to go too off into my own emotions. But yes, he did all these things. He, you know, put a ban on Chinese travel. But when did he do it? He did it far too late, after people that are part of his administration and his government had been constantly being informed on this virus at very early stages, which, you know, people don't realize that or recognize that because they don't hear it or they either don't listen to it. But he and his people were blatantly just refusing to listen to that. They didn't want to hear it. They kept thinking, oh, it's going to be fine. We got this. It's not going to reach American soil. It's just the lack of preparation.
Can I ask you this?
Is just
why the adulation? Why does he need to take credit for things? And I say this because I'm a New Yorker. Donald Trump has put his fucking footprint on New York. So I've seen him in different areas, whether it's professional wrestling, whether it's movies, business, you know, TV, you name it, he's probably been in it. And not once have I ever seen, you know, we all knew that he was a shady individual, but not once have I seen him always be, it's about me, 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 me. I've done this. It's the best thing in the world. This plan's the best because no one else has come up with it besides me. And you know what? I'm even impressed myself that I even came up with it. Like, I don't get why he has to look at the benefits of what he's doing every single day and take that accountability that he's saving the world, essentially. I don't get that. Like, I look at it like a mental disorder. No, I really do.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. I think it's a total mental disorder, but I think one of the main reasons is because he won the election, bro. Like, it's still crazy to fathom that fact that he won the election, and that had to be probably the biggest feeding to his ego, because nobody predicted him to win. Nobody saw that he was going to win. But when he, after that win, and with all the rallies that, you know, since when he ran for office all the way up until now, his base only got bigger and grew and grew and grew. And if you notice throughout his administration, anytime a story broke out, whether it was, you know, on the Russian investigation or just something that he did or said, he always immediately went to a rally. Why? Because he has to hear his name. He has to be surrounded by that glory and surrounded by that fame that he built around his people. And they like that. They
I'll
light
say,
that shit up.
Man. I'll say this, though. So I am very interested in seeing all these updates, coronavirus task force updates, not for what he says, but the after effect when the media starts talking, because that's where I get to sink my teeth and look at how disrespectful he can be to a human being. And I say that with utmost respect for anybody right there, if you're a Trump supporter, rock and roll. But there comes a time and place where you as a leader should talk to anybody with the utmost respect. And you have reporters just asking a simple question, and he tells them to shut up, go away, get out of here, you're fake, get, you know, someone get this person off my, you know my set, basically. You know, the repulsiveness that this guy spews out of his mouth is just it's
not fit for an American
really
president.
And I just don't know why people support that kind of action. And it makes me feel that,
because it's the same people. The people who support it are exactly the same as him. These are the people that go to Olive Garden and specifically ask not to be served by a black waitress. And what happens? They get what they ask for. Like this person has brought out people who only did this shit in the shadows, you know what I mean? Who only yelled this stuff at their TV, you know, in the confines of their own home. Now they're out more than ever spewing this shit blatantly. Why? Because their
And
president won.
I have conversations. It's like I had conversations today with many people about just how he is as a person. And I say, let's take politics aside, and you know, because people always like to say, well, Obama did nothing, so that's why Trump is the way he is. I'm like, okay, well, let's look at it this way. I will take everything away from Obama when it comes to policies and politics, okay? But when I look at him as a leader, I can listen to Barack Obama. I can understand fully what he says. He can fully articulate everything he says and convey some kind of emotion. Another thing too is that he has a pulse. I'm sorry to say that. When something happens, when anything had happened, any kind of tragedy that happened in America, he was the first person to visit that said site. I reference Sandy Hook a lot as well too. With that tragedy, he's a person that goes there and places his prayers and respects because he actually means it. Not once has Donald Trump at all showed any sort of emotion or care or sympathy toward any group of people whatsoever. Like, very fine people, excellent people, but there's never been any emotion that comes out of him because I don't believe he has that.
No, he this is someone who's incapable of empathy. I'm sorry, but putting my full I think the Obama family, that whole family was probably one of the classiest people that we've ever had in the White House. I mean, Michelle herself is one of the most highly intelligent, educated individuals who, just like her husband, so articulate. And as a first lady, I mean, she was out there just as much as he was. You know what I mean? A lot of first ladies, you know, not just her, but there's been a lot of first ladies who, you know, whether you agreed with their politics or not, I mean, they were out there doing something, you know, they're trying to get involved. This Be Best campaign. It sounds like something that he would have written because it went, but at the same time though, like what he does, it's like, I almost like to say that this guy has no fucking brains, but at the same time, it almost seems like he does because if you listen to the words that he repeats, which he does a lot, they are very, very, very good. It's very good, you know, billions and billions and billions, you know, the words that he repeats, you know, are very specific words. But I also think he just doesn't have a very large vocabulary at his disposal anyway. But
Well,
what was
the
I go? I don't
biggest thing
even
I gotta say
remember where I
though
was
is
going.
that the difference between that one, and hell, I'll even say this to the difference between George W. Bush as well too. George W. Bush wasn't a reactional president. Barack Obama wasn't a reactional president. You know, Barack Obama, the first 4 years of his term, got met with lynching mannequins everywhere he went. He got
Yes. People
that people
pretend like that
burning
never
his
happened.
picture.
Oh, you're berating our president. Bro, do you not see, especially the southern states, that these very Christian motivated states, do you not see how they treated
Yep,
this
and you
man?
know, death threats and things of that nature, death threats against his family
Look.
in that nature. And this man never once was emotional
Yes.
in front of the American people. If anything, he had a smile and went forward and still brought people together. Whether it's all everybody, I can't say he brought everybody together, but I could definitely say that he brought a lot of minorities together, saying that we need to rise, we need to not be put down. Yes, he advocated for police, you know, for a stop of police brutality. You know, he advocated for gun control, things that people just didn't like. I totally understand that offended you guys, but at the same token, when instance happened, when somebody got murdered, when something happened that was truly unjust in America, he owned up to it. He said, listen, things didn't go exactly as planned, but we're gonna get through this. Not once has our president done that. And then I could take politics out the way, or approval ratings and all this shit out the way, but at the end of the day, when it comes to leaders, even George W. Bush, for as stupid as he was, and a lot of times there's a million memes I could go back to 2004, 2005 and find some hilarious George Bush material. At least he seemed like he cared. Like you could drink a beer with George Bush and be like, you know what? You seem okay. You're fucking ridiculous, but you seem like you're okay. I can't say that about Donald Trump. it's hard to look at this man as a leader, but it's not just him as well too. You look at his whole cabinet, you look at the people that surround him, you look at the yes men that are around him. Not once is there anybody besides Fossey, and I have my reservations with Fossey as well too, but there's not one person besides Fossey that shuts him up and says, hey, that's not really what's happening.
The few that
Very much
have are
so.
gone.
And why do you think that? Like, is it really because, is it an ego trip? Is it to shut people up? Is it like that impeccable American defense that we can't show a chink in our armor? Like, what is it?
It's that it's an ego thing, but again, I also think it's something that we're not really seeing, and it's everyone else that's there that he's surrounding himself with. You know, like what are those people saying? What are those people doing? Because you have someone like Stephen, was it Stephen Miller? Very, very dangerous man, very dangerous man. Someone who is very like so far anti-Jewish, you know, very, I don't want to say Nazi sympathizer, but
Nationalist,
very much for like white supremacy, nationalists. You know, think about like those kind of people that are there. So
Look at Mike
you're not
Pence.
just
Mike
dealing
Pence
with
is the evil
Trump at that
motherfucker
point.
as well too, you know, supporting gay
Oh,
what is it, gay
Mike Pence,
conversion?
very dangerous. Yes. It's, you know, it's not just Donald Trump. I think everybody at that point knows that Donald Trump is someone that doesn't really have much of a brain. But it's everyone who does have a brain, and everyone like Mike Pence is an actual politician. Donald Trump isn't. But I mean that I think that that's why it is. And so people, I think there are very few people, you know, not all of them have been, you know, merits at all, but I think they got out at the right time, or they realized like I cannot be part of this, or I shouldn't, because I think that's where it's going to come up to us, like how like come election day, like what are people going to realize? What does it take for people going to realize, like the GOP right now, you know, not to attack the conservative side, but I mean like the GOP is in such chaos right now. Like people think that the Democratic Party is a chaos, but it's got its own problems, you know what I mean? But it's got a goal. And like right now, like the GOP has like completely drunken the Kool-Aid.
And I don't get why. Is it money? Is that what it is? Do we just
Yeah, it's because look at everything that they've passed. This guy has signed more what is that?
bills,
I'm blanking out on my words right now. Not the bills, but the
legislations?
like the oh I just I just had it on the tip of my tongue. I'll say it when it comes back to me. But he has signed more
I got you.
can't believe I'm saying that. Declarations, whatever
Legislations.
they are. God damn
No? Okay.
No. Something that he always blamed Obama for. It's at the
Right.
tip of my tongue, but I just don't remember the word. But he has signed more of those than any, to my knowledge. Again, correct me where I'm wrong, but to my knowledge, he has signed more of those executive. Damn it, just had it.
Executive orders.
Yes, than any other president. When he said he wasn't, and he always bashed Obama for that, saying that, oh, look at this authoritarian, you know. They all of them, the GOP, like they're getting what they want right now from this president, because they're passing so much shit that it's benefiting people with money, benefiting big businesses, benefiting people. Like, look at all the stocks that were being pulled out by these people in this administration who own stocks. Like, once COVID started coming out, and like it was really starting to hit America, these people pulled out all these stocks. Why? Because they had insider information, and absolutely
Oh yeah,
nothing
the
is
biggest
being
winner is big
done to
pharma.
them.
Seriously. Once that magical little pill comes out that's gonna take away COVID-19, big pharma is gonna fucking rack in the dough right there. And that's just a sickening way of capitalism, in my opinion. Just to get back on track with just how Trump and administration has taken care or taken precaution or taken heed of the coronavirus. First things first, coming back in January, going into February, he said it was a hoax. Okay? Going into late February, going into March, we declare it's a pandemic and we are in a state of emergency or nation of emergency. Oh. All right. From someone who is very reactional at that point to change his mind, at least when he did change his mind, did he take up the task to try to help the American people? And why do you say that?
No. Because I think when he did, I think it was because he was forced to. Again, because it's election year, and like he was able to slip away from everything else throughout this entire presidency, everything else, he was able to slip out the back door. But this was something that he was obviously making the wrong moves are, and there's somebody that was, in a bad choice of words, smart enough to tell him, no, they can't do this. But also, he's a businessman. Him and his family have businesses that are being affected by this. And I think that it wasn't until that point when these businesses were affected that he realized, shit, I got to protect my investments.
Okay. So investments aside, you look at the American people, his people that he directly communicates to, because it really isn't us. You know, I don't go on Twitter and follow Donald Trump for all the bullshit he says on that shit. But to the people that he communicates to, I feel that the message still isn't clear when it comes to like assurance and empathy and what's going on. I feel like it's, if anything, it's more muddy. Like, well, a lot of times since day one, since these task updates been happening, you know, he gives out numbers and they're increasing numbers and facts and symptoms and what to do and what not to do. And then the next day he completely changes it. He's like, oh, you know what? Even though this is all bad, we're going to be open by Easter. I'm going to make sure everybody's back in work by Easter. And of course, that didn't happen. And of course, when someone calls him out on that one, you know, he backtracks and, you know, he's very reactional, very emotional. He is a very much a kid. No,
it's not even just so much reactional. No, he's being methodical. I'm telling you, he's not as dumb as he's playing. When he was talking about opening up on Easter, remember exactly how he said it? It's like, it's going to be the most beautiful time to open back up the country. Why? Because he was reaching out to his fan base, because his fan base, you know, they see him as someone sent by God. Look at the exact wording that he was using. He was using very biblical, very emotional and
religious,
you know, things of that nature. Very spiritual. Yeah. Yeah. It's all methodical. Everything that he does is to that base, and I guarantee you his base does not remember things that he even says, so that's why he can easily change it, because the only people that matter to him right now are his base, and he knows that they're paying attention to him to a point where they're not going to hold him accountable to the things that he says. And like recently, like right now, like the news is that, oh, he's stopping all immigration. Why? Because that's the thing that his people want to hear. Immigration has nothing to do with this. In fact, like immigrants are in danger and probably not wanting to cross into America because we have the highest count right now. So people don't want to come here. And he knows that. They know that people want to come here. People are not trying to immigrate here. But he's using that to rally his base, and look what I'm doing. Now he's trying to do things because he can, because right now the thing that it's on everybody's mind is Corona and fighting Corona. So honestly, he can start trying to pass whatever the fuck he wants to.
And here's the thing that kills me too, when it comes out to like the most cases in history right now when it comes to a virus. He uses that as like a launching pad itself. He was like, well, we have the most cases because we have the most tests. Great fucking asshole. Like, all right, what are we gonna do about that now? Great, we have confirmed there are people now dying. I totally understand that, and I get it, yes, but what are we doing? What's next? And in every, because I've seen at least most of these task force hearings, there has never been an update on how we are specifically gonna battle this. It's usually, listen to your governors, listen to your state officials, listen to what they're saying. If they say it's good, you're good. But he has not taken any accountability into his words whatsoever. And when someone brings it up, he fucking disparages them. And I just don't get that.
Or they change it. Because remember what the federal stockpile of medical supplies, PPE, that they had? which was meant to be used for states in need. The who was it? Was it wasn't Kushner. And I think it was Kushner that said that, no, actually, you guys are misinterpreting it. This is for a national stockpile. So this is government's property. We are under no orders or obligation to share this with the states. And then when people were pointing out, actually, yes, it says right here, they changed the wording. That's what this administration does. That's what
I
this
just
president does.
it would I would I would have more respect for him if he came out and says I messed up or this is something on me right here. It, I would
No,
I would have more
that
respect for him
is.
if he was honest.
No, but what I'm saying that would never like I'm not a person to say never say never. I don't believe in impossibilities, but that right there is a huge impossibility. I don't think he will ever take back anything that he says.
And you know
Never.
what? The cabinet, the government itself is not all to blame because I also put a lot of blame on mainstream media. Do you have any thoughts on how mainstream media has covered the coronavirus?
Yes and no, it depends on the networks, honestly, because there are a lot of individual journalists and news anchors that I hold with the highest respect, and those are the people that I trust. You know what I mean? Yes, I like the biggest news channel that I watch is Vice News and MSNBC. And like Vice News or like Vice itself in Viceland is probably like one of the most liberal channels on TV. No shame. But like a lot of those journalists that I watch, I mean, those are people that, that you can see the integrity in what they report and how they report it, and of course, a lot of them are younger. But they're on the front lines constantly, and they know the right people to talk to because they on both sides of everything. Again, I don't really think it's just like media or like a specific channel, unless it's Fox News, because when it comes to Fox News, I'm sorry, but I think everyone could collectively agree that it's just pumping out bullshit. Like I think everyone knows. And I'm sorry, but those people are. I've also drank the Kool-Aid, and you're not going to get any vital information from there whatsoever. It's all going to be purely opinionated. But I think we need to stop looking at whole networks and holding them accountable. No, you have to look for the right, for the specific journalists, and those are the people that are really,
But how hard is that these days when you're looking
go ahead.
for the right source of information? Just like
It
you said,
is. It's
when you're looking at mainstream
it is.
media, when you're looking at your own personal computer to look up correct information, you can get easily sidetracked. You can easily get into an article talking about how a chick in Wuhan ate a bat and this is why we have coronavirus. We can easily get wrapped up into conspiracy theories. We can really easily get down the rabbit hole that numbers are fluctuating, what's real and what's not real, and you can go down that rabbit hole. So how could you explain to a person in a streamlined way, in a simplified way of where to go for your information?
Honestly, I would just start with the basics. Go with the like when if you're reading you're reading a article or something that looks interesting, automatically look at the website or where it's from. I would always start with something from ABC, not Fox News, but like Fox, because I know there's like local Fox affiliates, ABC, NBC, CNN, MSNBC. Those are trusted sources, obviously. You know what I mean? But then, also, major newspapers. Those are the ones that I, go with. If you see some other bullshit like Patriot Archives or shit, what's the Onion? God, if you're reading something from the Onion, reading a news article from a site called the Onion, really, come on. But always start with that. Always start with the ones that you do know, and then from there, again, just start looking at, you know, you'll start noticing, you know, oh, look at how this guy writes, look at how this guy, because I've been reading from different New York Times, Washington, WAPO, you know, LA Times. There's people who, when they write, you can tell they try to stay very center while filling in facts. You know what I mean? And you can definitely see that in, you know, start following just that specific writer, that specific, you know, articles for that specific person. That would just
So
really be how I would put
let's
it.
go into now the day and age. We're about, what, a month and a couple of weeks into quarantine as a nation, right? Depending on what state you're in. It's just been announced that the president has set up a task force, a council to reopen America. He's set on trying to open the United States government and businesses around April 30th, or whoever state official governor that deems it worthy enough to open right now, they can do so. How do you feel about this? Because the science that brought us here, the task force results, everything that we have gathered, information, they have all said, they have all pointed to July and June being peak of where we're at with the coronavirus. Yet we're over here, not even hitting peak yet, and we're looking to already open up businesses. I personally, this is just my opinion on it, because I really feel like this is election year, like you said before, but he really hasn't been campaigning that much. But this is his campaign right now, right here, of opening up jobs, making America greater, greater, greater again by opening up all the fucking jobs and giving people their rights, essentially, quotation marks. This is his campaign speech. Do you see that as well too?
No, it kind of goes up to what I was saying earlier. It's like if you look at the moves that he's making, especially right now, he's making moves that are going to appeal to his base because, again, it's getting to the end of his presidency. And now that everybody's focused on Corona, he can start making moves that he couldn't make before because everyone's eyes are on Corona and, you know, how do we protect ourselves? So he's going to start taking
Now, it's
hugely
very
advantage of
much a
that.
Russian roulette when it comes to them, especially when it comes to election year. Because let's say, yes, he opens up everything, most states. Let's say 50% of the United States has reopened up, and in that 50%, we have reverted back into symptoms again from all these states, and we're going back again to self-isolation. Does that automatically hurt his chances on being elected again because he gave false promises? And does that also give more, I don't want to say, more problems, more responsibility, more accountability to the next president that would get elected?
That's a hard one, only because it's gotten to the point where his supporters, both voters and politicians, have blatantly said in statements that people are going to die and that's okay, and that people do need to die from this, die for this, die for the economy to thrive, die for our country to survive. And because they're you know, willing to say that openly, it wouldn't shake. So like if people started dying after opening up, they're gonna take it as, well,
Well,
that's
and
gonna
we've seen
happen.
that today specifically, and like this weekend as well too, with all the protests. And you, as an activist, I know this is a very familiar scene for you because you're seeing all these quote unquote activists go out there and protest about having their own constitutional rights being taken away from them, having, you know, being they need to be liberated from the coronavirus and the government officials. That if we know that there's a disease out there, we want to die on our own accord. So if we want to take the responsibility to pass this virus around, or if we want the responsibility to get infected, it's their God-given right. Like, what's going on with that right there? As an activist, like, what's your mindset? Where's your mindset when it comes to this?
You know what's sad? Like, you know what, do you know what the first thing I noticed about those patriot
What?
gatherings were? Not the fact that they weren't wearing masks. not the fact that they weren't standing 6 feet apart, not that they were, holding up very misspelled signs and the irony of like coronavirus is fake, yet you are there with like completely covered in a hazmat suit. It wasn't that. It was the fact that they were out there with automatic rifles
Yes.
and guns blazing. And my first thought was,
Yes.
why is that necessary? Like what you're there for to get businesses open. Why do you need all these assault rifles there for? That proved to me the illegitimacy of what they're standing there for. Like honestly, and I want businesses to open again. I do. A lot of my friends are out of work. A lot of people that I know and love are, in very dark times, very, very, very dark times. I, when everything was normal, fell into that hole myself. When things were normal, you know what I mean? And that was just dark on its own. So I can only imagine, I can only fathom what it feels like to be in that situation now. So I want things to open up, but we have to do our part. So being out there in the way that they're out there and look at these people's signs. People are there so that they can get a haircut. They want to be able to go to restaurants and eat again. They want to be able to get their daily massages or whatever. These are what people are
Yeah, it's
writing on
luxury.
these signs that they're out there. Yes. And again, and not to be that person, but they're a very specific group of people, and I'm pretty sure you know who I'm talking about.
No, yeah, and I totally get that as well too. Like I'm looking at everything that's happening around, our country itself. And then just looking at the world and how the world's taking care of each other. Look at India and how they're taking care of each other when it comes to quarantine. You look at, England, how they're taking precautions. You look at New Zealand and
New
whatnot,
Zealand.
and Italy, the place where was ranked the highest when it came to infections and how they're taking their precautions now, and how they have slowly went down the ranks compared to us. Like it's just, and then you look, go ahead.
Look at New Zealand. And sorry, just want to throw in these numbers here. Because I saw something that was kind of putting the spotlight on what they had been doing. Yes, you can argue that, they're a small island. They have nowhere near the population of America. But again, this is the point proven that these people didn't take this threat lightly. So far, they've had 13 deaths. 13 deaths. 1,107 confirmed cases. 1,006 people recovered.
And that's amazing. And yes, you could argue that yes, it is a smaller country. Totally understand that, but it's the precautions you're taking right there. And you look at the environment that we're at right now. First, the laughable and the audacity of going to a Capitol building when it's closed on a Sunday. That was just hilarious. But then to actually go on a Monday now and trying to revolt and protest that America needs to be liberated. And I looked at that and I felt very strong about that statement right there because I'm looking at this, I'm like, what are we being liberated from? Like, do we have,
That's what
like,
I
are
was
we
just going
under
to say
this
that.
mass tyranny? Kind of with Trump, if you want to use look at that in a,
From
but at the
5G,
end of the
bro.
day, what rights are being taken away from you as you speak? In Arizona, specifically the state that we live in right now, there are no specific rights that are being taken away from any fucking person out there. People can still go outside, go get something to eat, come back, and deal with their life. Okay? No one's taking any fucking precautions like that to say
Yeah.
you're specifically in a jail cell. And to have people come out there and say that, oh, my rights are being taken away because I can't go to a salon or I can't get my nails done or I can't get a haircut. My son's suffering because his hair is getting long. Fuck you. Because there's actually people there that are dying right now. They're literally on hospital beds. There's nurses out there doing protests against these people right there.
Just that hit me hard. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I'm glad that you pointed it out because the images that have come out of this entire administration of the counter protest, from everything that has been done, but like the image of the nurses, the doctors, just the people in the scrubs standing, and these protesters are in their face. basically belittling the people who are on the front lines, like not the front lines answering phones for tech companies, not the people who are on the front lines, preparing food for people. No, the people that are on the front lines saving people's lives and trying to
Being
fight off this virus.
belittling,
They're
being yelled at.
belittling
I mean,
them.
there's iconic images so far that I'll say this, and people probably get pissed off. Oh, Val, you're exaggerating. And it could be an exaggeration at some points, but you remember those old
Probably
I
not.
say even communists, those old Soviet Union posters where you got to see not even Soviet Union. Look at Korea. And you had that one image of that child standing in front of a tank. While the tank's actually coming, they kind of symbolize what we're dealing with right now as a nurse, someone who's, I wouldn't say innocent, but your caretaker, that figure that's supposed to, that you lean on for support, battling against someone with the American flag on their shirt, which, by the way, for fucking people that are patriotic, it is unconstitutional to wear any kind of fucking representation of the flag on your body.
Oh, I saw several Trump printed in red, white, and blue on the
You're
American flag.
desecrating the flag right there, people. So how fucking patriotic are you? You're wearing face masks with the fucking American flag, so you're essentially coughing on the American flag. Fuck off then, if you want to really get into things like that. But just looking at that, looking at people that actually want to take care of you, caretakers, body, people that heal the body, shamans of the day are peacefully protesting, saying, just get out of the way, let us take care of you. We are here to take care of you. And you're getting a bunch of soccer moms and Karens pointing fingers saying, I don't see any bodies coming out the hospital. There's not enough people in the emergency room. There's not enough people sick.
Telling them to go to China.
We need China to pay up. Pay up for what? Because I don't see America paying anything to Japan for Hiroshima. Straight up, I don't see anything like that happening across the world with all the bad deeds that the United States has done. Yet you look at this and you
Nationalism.
look at diseases come out, and this kind of goes back to our first point right there, the racism, the bigotry, the prejudice that has come out of people's mouths to say, oh, you're Chinese, so you're the enemy. It came from over there, so they're the enemy. They're trying to kill us. And it's just disgusting. I think that's why I felt so emotional today about it, because I'm just disgusted of how we're treating ourselves as people, like as brothers and sisters out there. Instead of the mass support that we should be feeling, the easiest fucking job in the world to stay home and relax and we'll beat this. You can't fucking do that. And it blows my mind.
One of my favorite things that I read was a tweet from Patton Oswalt, where, again, paraphrasing, but it was like, Anne Frank hid in an attic for 2 years, and you can't even stay home where you get food delivery, internet, access to a billion things, and you're upset because you can't go to Fuddruckers or something like
All
that.
these people, and I wrote this down to someone as well too, and it kind of shut them up as well too. These evangelicals, these Christians, anybody, fanatics, religious fanatics. Let's just say that right there, because I do feel like there's some good with faith. It just depends on who's preaching it. But for all these quote unquote Christians out there that are out here saying God's gonna take care of this and God's gonna take care of that, if Jesus Almighty were to come right now in his sandals and his fucking white cloak, chilling out on a fucking step, he would get belittled for the way he looks into what he's saying as a crazy man. The American people would treat that man and lock him up in a sane asylum. So the people that actually are using religion, were using names of their faiths to say that this is what we should be doing, this is what should be following, are the same fucking people that will take anybody that's from Muslim descent, from Middle East descent, and just disparage them for how they look. And it's true. It's true because when you're looking at that, when you're using religion as your core to define who you are and what you are and the actions that you do, you are yourself and not an individual. You're part of that fucking flock. You're part of that sheep right there. Because if anything that I've learned over my, 32 years of living right now, is that religion has done more harm to people. Not faith. Faith is different. Religion has done more harm to people, has done more harm to human society than anything else has ever done. More than forest fires, more than natural disasters, more than fucking extinction. Religion has hurt more people in this world than anything else.
And the one that I put on the top of that list is Christianity. Because it's evil in its own different way. Where, you know, I understand that there's a lot of religions that, you know, deal with death, but in the way that Christianity here, just, you know, American Christianity, that just tortures individuals.
It is
sickening. You know, conversion therapy is hugely supported by religious groups, and it's just a
We're here right now, and where I know we're doing our part right now to, you know, self-quarantine. Man, I haven't seen you since how long? And I feel very good that we're taking the precautions needed to make sure that our families are safe. You know, I see my girlfriend, I see their kids, I see their family once in a while, I see my dad here and there, because I know that we're all self-quarantined in our own way. But I'm not going out there. As much as it pains me to look at all these activists out there, and I want to, there were two nurses that really caught me today, that were there just to stand there and just give more information, and how they were being belittled. It made me want to drive in my car and go straight down there with all these people and just stand up next to them. And I felt like this is what they want to do. They want people to come out. They want people to react. They want people to march and have that quote unquote war in a way and prove them right. And the best thing we could do, honestly, right now is prove them wrong. Stay vigilant, stay inside and do your part. Yep.
And the biggest advice that I have for anyone, I know it's going to be exciting to, you know, when quarantines are finally lifted, but it doesn't mean that on that day that the coronavirus is just going to go away. Suddenly it doesn't exist anymore. Everyone's just going to like immediately flock to large gatherings. Like, you still have to be careful, because there's a lot of reports of people who have recovered are getting the second wave of sicknesses. So that's something that we have to pay attention to too. Again, just because the quarantines will be lifted doesn't mean that it's just magically done.
You know, and the very important thing to look at too is look at the states that have opened. Look at Florida, for example. Florida, to me, over the last month has been the most shady, I want to say, form of government I've ever seen in my life, because of the fact that they have made certain sports or certain, I want to say, entertainment companies essential places to work, such as the WWE and the UFC and certain world-class boxing events, to allow them to run these. Exactly.
One of those things well, too.
And then they're the first state to actually open up their beaches. I saw somebody on Facebook Live, a good friend of mine, I won't say his name, just walking along the beach, very much a Trump supporter, but walking along the beach, you know, showing that he has support for his president, and he wants to go along the beach and go take a swim and, you know, thank the lifeguards for being there to protect him while he's swimming. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing right now? Like, I love you to death, but what the fuck are you doing? At the end of the day, yes, I totally understand. Beaches are open, but you're making a statement that you can go to the beach instead of wanting to go to the beach. And that's what these protesters are doing, which gets me fucking pissed off. It's the fact that they want the luxury to do it. It's not about the need. It's the luxury to do it.
No, it's, you know, but that goes for the same thing here, even in Arizona, where the thing is placed. Like, I'm sorry, but like all these people who have to absolutely work out, you know, like they're still doing it. Like the fact that, you know, you go to, you know, your trail that you want to walk today, or, you know, the mountain that you want to climb, and you see packed, our parks were overcrowded. People can't hold back on, just working out at home, doing some lightweight, or, just doing something. No, they still have to go out. You go to a place and you see it packed with dozens of other people who are also like, and you decide that, oh, well, I'm here. I'm just gonna go ahead and continue my day.
Exactly.
Like, no, like, stupid. Just because you have to go on your daily hike, like, I'm sorry, like good for you. Your health is important to you. Find different alternatives where it's avoiding this mass group of people who, I'm sorry, like these meatheads that just can't stop for one
It's
day.
a drug. It's almost like
And
it's an addiction to have what we have. And I personally have looked at myself and I said, okay, do I need a lot of these things that these people are complaining about? Do I need to go to the movies? Do I need to go out there and party and drink all the time? Do I need to do X, Y, and Z? And honestly, I don't. This is something that really has opened my eyes on what I value as a person. I value my friends. I value my family, my loved ones, my daughters, the kids that I have, the girlfriend that I have, you, everybody, what I do for a podcast, the work that I have as well too. Like the things that I value right now mean more important than going out there and having a good time, or the ability to have a good time. It hurts to see that people out there right now are just using this information to hurt people. They're using this information to disparage people and to belittle people for whatsoever. In no way or no how that I thought from going into February to right now in April that I would see someone yell at a nurse. Yell and disparage a nurse for being at a rally. Like, forget just COVID in general. There's certain standards of respect that you should have. And the fact that you're just in your own fucking head think that you're superior because you think that you have all the information needed, or you think you have a higher power that protects you, guaranteed, if that higher power does exist, you're being judged when you get there. That's all I gotta say about that. Did you want to speak on anything else toward COVID-19 or how we're dealing with this as a country?
I just think we need to be smart. I think we need to make better decisions. Like you said, I think, take this time to meditate on a lot of things that you did, and really reflect on how you handled this. I love my friends to death, but like at one point we had gotten to kind of like a big, huge, like heated thing when it came to like social distancing and stuff like that. But like that's how rough things got for, in quarantine at one point. Everyone's just kind of going mad. But what I would just tell everyone is really be smart about this, and like really, really, really be smart about this, because just because you didn't catch it doesn't mean that you can't catch it. And if it has to take for either you to get it or someone you love to get it for you to realize like how real this thing is, then that's really sad. And when it does happen, you're going to be devastated. And I hope at that point that you realize like, hindsight's 2020, but again, my biggest advice is when everything is lifted, still take it lightly, tread very lightly. Doesn't mean
Yep,
it's just going to
I agree
magically
with
go
exactly what
away.
you're saying right there. For the states that have opened up already, please take precaution out there. For the people down in Florida, the states that are opening up already. I understand things are at your beck and call. There's a fucking Outback Steakhouse that's waiting for you to come in. There's, a salon that's waiting to do your nails. There's a barbershop waiting to do a haircut. But you also gotta think about those people that have opened up. They're probably frightened as well too. The necessity for small businesses is there, but the fear is still there that they can get infected. The fear was there 2 months ago. The fear hasn't gone away, so respect that person. Grocery workers,
Grocery
respect the
workers.
fact that they have gloves on still and still working. I don't give a fuck if the president says everything is A-okay. I don't give a fuck if Fauci says everything is A-okay. If someone's talking to you with a pair of gloves on and a mask and you will feel offended, get your ass to a Safeway, get your ass to, I don't know, a Stop and Shop somewhere else different that you want to go to, an Aldi or some shit like that, and go take your bills elsewhere. Grow your own fucking crops. Go fucking tackle down a cow yourself, you know, if you feel offended. Because I feel like that's going to be the next wave of craziness, just the outcry of people still wearing gloves and masks and things of that nature. And the Karens and the Sues of the world want to speak to a manager because they wouldn't take the glove off.
You know, it's amazing that, you know, what I learned in mainly in Japan, when people wear masks in Japan, they're not doing it necessarily for themselves, but out of respect for everyone around them. Like if they have like a little crow or they know they're sick, they wear the mask because, you know, they don't want to get anyone else sick. So, you know, it kind of helps, you know, prevent that. They do that out of respect to everyone else around them.
I think if anything, the American people, they need to go to like some kind of manner class, some kind of respect class, something like that. They need to, like do something. Too much, man. They need to go to a.
They need a vote.
To watch Miss Congeniality.
They need a vote
from fucking Sandra Bullock. Yes, they need a vote.
No, but seriously, come election time, we need a vote. There would still be infections. There would still be a lot of things. But what I think most experts will say is that things would be a lot different if we had different leadership here. And I don't think that we
can. And for the people that are on the fence on voting or just on the fence on voting for Biden. Okay. But there are people. And I totally understand that as well, too. But here's the thing.
I know.
You already have went, if you have your reservations on the president himself or where to do and just feel like you're just going to be out of it and not do it this year. Just think again and just say, hey, listen, the last 4 years, they could have been better. Let's give somebody a different shot to see if they could take care of this in a different way. I think if you have that mentality to say, you know what, I may not 100% trust this person because they're new to me, but I want to see what education they can provide me to be a better country. If you look at that and just say, fuck red, fuck blue, fuck whatever, elephants and donkeys, and just say, you know what, I just want a different try. I want a new subscription to a different streaming service. Do it. Okay. Look. There you go. Right there.
There you go. Need that's probably
Disney Plus because Hulu's not doing it for me anymore. Okay. Well, Biden's your Disney Plus. I'm not too sure who's voting independent right now. Who's the independent elective right now. But
Please don't vote it. This is not the time
but
for that.
Go
this
out
is not
there
the time
and
for
just
pride. I'm sorry, but it's
use your voice. It does matter. It matters 100,000%. Doesn't matter if anybody tells you doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if the boomers tell you that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you have supremacists out there that threaten you and say, yeah, not to go back to it, but I remember looking at this protest again. I'm looking at this nurse. And she's just there standing. You have somebody with an AK-47 literally in their hand, and they're saying you shouldn't be here because you're going to get arrested for being here. We're not going to get arrested, but you're going to get arrested.
Yeah, no, they don't. I can attest to that because during the protest, all the people that were standing there with their AK-47s in support of Trump, the police didn't bother them one bit. But the protesters with the signs... Oh, yeah, they were public enemy number one.
It is devastating.
I know.
It is very sad.
It's devastating. It's sad.
One thing that I can say is just, you know, stay strong. Stay strong out there. Stay strong. And keep that faith. Keep that faith and make sure that you know that you're doing the right thing when it comes to things like this. And Jake? No.
Go ahead. I was going to say, stay up to date with accurate information, very trustworthy sites. You know, in this time, I would say, you know, if you have money to spend and support your local businesses, but at the same time, don't feel bad if you go to somewhere like, you know, PQDs, whatever.
Yeah.
Because those people are working too. You know, those people need a job. And, you know, it sucks that they're there. It really does. You know, I know a lot of them don't want to be there. But if you absolutely have to go out to eat, don't feel bad if you're not supporting, you know, say if you just need something, you know, $1 quick.
You're helping those people right there. You're helping,
you know, you're helping keeping
small businesses because, you know, Uber, Lyft and all those places are small businesses as well, too. You know, they're getting bigger, but, you know, they're essentially mom and pop shop businesses that started from the bottom. Support them if you really need to get things out there. You know, look at yourself when you say that you need to be liberated. Look at yourself when you say that you need rights, that there's rights that are being taken away from you. Look at yourself and just question, like, is this really that serious where I need to go out there, take my children, and put them in danger? Because at the end of the day, yes, I understand it's your God-given right to do so, but is it right? Is it correct? Jake, where can people find you if they want to talk more about politics or being an activist or just in general chat?
Yeah, you can find me on Anxiety Live. Oh, excuse me. Woof. Anxiety and I on Anchor, on Spotify, where most major podcasts are broadcasted. And then I would say follow me on Instagram, but I don't remember. Oh, it's X6VMPR6HRT6X. Yeah, it's one of those. That's my Instagram tag, so find me. I do a lot of pop culture and politics.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. And you guys want to find me, you can find me on Instagram at Val Cisco. You can find me on the Twitter at uncandy_V. You can find Pop Culture Fanatics on every podcast outlet, from iHeartRadio going down to Podbeam, going down to Apple Podcast and Spotify as well too. You can also find me on other podcasts as well too. I do join Jake on Anxiety and I half the time sometimes. You can find Lag Switch Gaming with my boy Jay Rance. You can find me on the Kimura Chronicles, a podcast about strictly MMA and Elite Wrestling Audio, which is also strictly about professional wrestling. So if you guys just want to get out there and dabble, if you like our kind of conversation, our swag, our humor sometimes, I know this is more serious. We do get funny, I assure you. please look us up, support, and just enjoy the ride with us. I appreciate you for being here, Jake. We're all in this together, guys. Take care.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey guys, thanks again for joining me and Jake on this podcast. It really means a lot to me. It's the first time that I've done anything really political on this podcast. So something new, something different, kind of different tone or whatnot. I just gotta say, you know, the views and opinions that me or Jake have do not reflect the people that we hang out with, you know, the society that we live in, our jobs, our families, things of that nature. So before there's any craziness or anybody feels offended from what we're saying, these are our personal opinions, and the beauty about America is that just like an asshole, everybody has one. So hopefully you guys found it informative, fun, somewhat intellectual, and I appreciate any of you who have made it this far and have invited me into your ear hole. So thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Once again, Pop Culture Fanatics, you can find it on every other podcasting streaming device. It has a Facebook page as well too, so shoot me a message if you want as well too. Let me know how you guys are feeling, and if you want to debate anything about what's going on in this COVID-19 universe, please shoot me that message. Anyway, guys, I'm out of here. Take care of yourselves and of others as well too. Bye now.